Romans chapter 7. Great chapter of the Bible. First part talks about marriage, and then it talks about the believer's relationship to the law and the purpose of the law. And this is where rubber meets the road, brother. That's where you have problems. Most Christians never get past. That's why I always tell people, when you get saved, read the book of Romans. Read it through 7 times. 1 Thessalonians is a good one. 2 Thessalonians, Romans, John, all these are good books to read and to be able to get things straightened out in your life. And I had a lot to straighten out in my life after I got saved. I'm still, Lord, working. He's still working on me and still working on you. And so thank God that the Lord, the Lord didn't get frustrated. He doesn't get frustrated in your life. He might whoop the snot out of you, but he don't get frustrated. I say that graciously. The Lord spanks his children. He will spank you if you're his child. And the Bible says if a man without chastisement, then he's a bastard, not a son. And you are, if you're a child of God, you're saved, you belong to God. And that's why it's your responsibility to grow and get closer to him. And the Bible talks here, chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. And he's talking to the about the law being under law, and the law has dominion. I mean, we have laws and on the books in America that we have to abide by. We have laws in the home. We have laws in the church. We have laws everywhere you turn. There's laws that you have to abide by. But the law here is talking about the marriage law. And look what it says in verse 2. Now, I'll say this to young folks. I'll tell you what. You'd be a fool, young person, to marry somebody just to sleep with them. Amen. Just to have a child. You'd be a fool. Amen. All you're going to do is bring heartache. See, that's what bothers me about a lot of times that people get married. They get married and all they want is to have a little relationship, and they don't want the responsibility of the marriage.
Right.
They want to get married, but marriage comes with responsibility. And big responsibility. And what happens is you see a lot of young girls, and I'm not against it if you got a baby here and you have a child by a guy, but what happens is the people get the cart before the horse, and they have a baby, and then they got a connection, and then they end up hating the guy.
Yeah.
And they thought they couldn't ever live without the guy. You know, they're all on the phone, oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, I can't live without you. And then once the baby comes, it's like, he's like, ain't my baby. It ain't my baby. You know, he starts calling you names. And start saying all kinds of, you girls are fools for that stuff, some of you girls. You'll listen to a guy tell you how much he loves you and how much all this stuff, and he'll want to get in your clothes, and then you get pregnant, and then he dumps you like a hot potato. And amen, can I get you ladies say amen? And you girls think, what happens is, girls think they're going to be old maids, they're going to be all this. And I tell you what, I'd rather, like a girl said one time, she was a virgin, she said this, all the girls are mocking her at school saying, look at you, you're a virgin. Oh, man, look at you. We've been out with this guy, and we slept with this guy, and we've been passed around like a football, you know, slobbered all over it. And we've been passed around. And then all of a sudden, the girl says, well, have you ever slept with anybody? She said, no, I'm a virgin. And then the girl goes, ah, and she laughs at it. They laugh at her. And the girl feels peer pressure to go out and have a relationship with the guy so she can say, I slept with this guy and all that stuff. And then she'll do that and then maybe end up pregnant one time. But then, you know what a girl said one time, this young girl that was a Christian, she said this. She said, you girls, you can never go back to where I'm at. And she said, I plan on staying right here for my husband. And I tell you what, that'd be a wise girl to do something like that. I ain't planning on going sleeping around and be passed around like a football on the football team. I'm just going to stand right here and be a virgin and wait for my husband and honor God. And you girls, you watch the girls that have all the children and no marriage, no marriage involved. You'll watch, they're so unhappy. That's why they try to have another baby. Because they're trying to find happiness. Now, I'm saying if a girl has that, if you've done that, man, you can change things. You can change it. You don't have to keep doing that.
Amen.
Wait for the right guy. God, give me the right man. And willing to put a ring on my finger and say I do and support you.
Right.
And provide for you. We see a lot of girls, man, they just mess up their lives. And I love the babies. I love to see the babies come to church. Man, that's a blessing. That's why most of the kids we pick up on the buses is usually from a single family home. And, you know, and then they end up fighting over the child and the father. Sometimes the father, he don't want nothing to do with it anyway. But he goes, you know, there's a lot of deadheads sitting in prison because they didn't pay child support. And I say, amen, they ought to be in prison, amen. If they want to go sleep around and do that, they ought to go to jail. My Lord, you can tell I'm fired up this morning. Hey, amen. You girls, don't end up like a fool. Don't end up being fools.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah. Amen. Don't sell yourself short. Because you're worth a lot.
Amen.
God made you for a reason.
Right.
And you can be a helpmeet to your husband.
Amen.
When you get married. So what happens if you mess up? Get right.
Amen.
Don't participate. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to go ahead and mess up so I can get right later.
Don't accept
that. That's what you're doing is you're stepping down to people's level. Don't do that.
Amen.
And especially, you know, you see girls been raised in church and raised around the Bible and everything, and they go out and they do the same stupid thing the world does.
Yeah.
Same stupid thing. And end up with the same heartaches, and they go, what happened? Yeah, what? Stupid. And it's a blessing to me to see somebody get straightened out. And get the right husband and move on in life and serve God. In the flesh, I'm going to tell you something. The flesh is never satisfied.
That's right. That's right.
If you try to satisfy this flesh, you know, men will, you know, they got a beautiful woman. They can have, you know, you look at, I could tell you story after story about men having a beautiful wife, you know, shaped like an hourglass or whatever. And they go out and they try to find somebody else. And they'll run around her and all that. So if you find, you know, fear of the Lord, find a man that fears God and find a woman that fears God, then you'll be blessed. My wife and I have been married 41 years now. I love being with her.
Amen.
I love having fun with her. And you know what? And the Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. She was my wife of my youth. Now, we messed around. We lived like hell. And we did before I was 14 years old. When I was 12 years old, I was running around. And 14 years old, had my own car. I was picking up girls like they were, like it was going out of style. And I was picking up girls and sleeping around like a stinking mad dog and mocking them and making fun of them and throwing them away like a piece of trash. And at 14 years old, and I looked at my daughters and my children at 14 years old, I said, I'd kill them if they did something like that.
Amen.
And that's the way I grew up. But I didn't have church.
Right.
I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have Jesus Christ. I didn't have nothing, nobody to encourage me. You girls do.
Amen.
You got a family sitting in church. You got a family that loves you. I've told my daughters, I said, I'd be willing to die for you.
Amen,
they're not.
Right.
That old boy that's wanting to sleep with you, they're not. I'm willing to die for you. Now, marriage, before you go into marriage, you better make sure she's the right one. You better make sure he's the right one.
Amen.
So how do you do that? Pray.
Amen.
Ask God. And watch, see the tendencies he has. If he lays out of church and he doesn't want to do right, then you better not marry him.
Amen.
If she lays out of church and just wants to go partying, you better not marry him.
Amen.
You better not. Why? You say, why? Because you're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to be down the road going through a divorce. And is there life after divorce? Yes, there is. But, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, having sorrows and it's trouble in the flesh and that type thing. And you'll have trouble, and you'll have bad trouble.
Right.
And you don't want that.
Amen.
You know, I feel like God's allowing me, after we messed up and we lived like hell, and I got saved 18 years old, my wife and I was sleeping around doing all that stuff, and we said, at 19, we decided we're going to do what's right. We got married.
Amen.
And we started raising our children. And I'm going to tell you something, it works.
Right.
It works if you do it the right way.
Amen.
It really does. I'm not trying to pull wool over you. If you do it the right way, it works.
Yeah.
If you do it the wrong way, you're going to be heartache. You're going to be crying. You're going to be tore up. You're going to be going home to mama and daddy. And then daddy is going to want to kill the guy and all kinds of stuff going to happen.
That's right. Listen, that's right.
So please, girls,
amen.
Save yourself a lot of heartache.
Amen. That's
save yourself a lot of trouble.
Right.
Really, I'm pleading with you. Because I've seen it so many times. I've been pastoring here 30 years. Boy, I've seen it over and over again. And I've seen the heartaches. I've seen the trouble. I've seen the children. My Lord. I prayed. I said, God, don't let my kids have to go through that. Don't let me as a parent, grandparent have to watch my grandkids be torn apart. I've asked God. And you said, do you pray now? I pray for my children now. I pray for my son-in-laws. I pray for my daughter-in-laws. I pray for the future daughter-in-law. I pray for all that. And I believe you ought to.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says in verse 2. For the woman which have a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband, you say, can you get forgiven for being adulterous? Yes.
Amen.
There was a woman that came to Jesus, and she was the woman at the well. And I love that story. The woman at the well came to Jesus, and she was Samaritan. She was half Jew, half Gentile. And they were called Gentile dogs. And Jesus Christ walked by Samaria. And he goes by Samaria, and he sits on a well and waits for this woman to come. And this woman comes, and he says, give me a drink of water. And the woman goes, and she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me? Because a Jew would never ask a Gentile. She said, how is it you, being a Jew, ask me for water? And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water. Somebody find me that story. It's in Luke, I believe it is. Is it Luke? John. John what? My mind just went to that. John 4. Yeah, here it is. Chapter 4, verse 1. I love this story. You know what this shows? It shows even if you messed up, no matter where you came from, no matter what color you are, no matter if you're a mixed breed or whatever, we're all mutts. We all got something in us. You know, there's no pure, like Hitler thought he was had the pure blood and all that junk, the white supremacists and all that. We're all a bunch of mutts. That's what we are. And what I mean by that, we're all got a little bit of a mixture of everything. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he, look what this says. And he must needs go through Samaria. The Lord had a need to go through Samaria. I love that. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock at day. 12 o'clock. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? But the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what that shows me? That shows me the Lord was willing to get his hands dirty.
Amen.
If you're willing to get your hands dirty to try to reach people, it makes no difference what color. No, it makes no difference what creed. It makes no difference who they are. The bum, living, the homeless guy, the homeless woman, the banker, no matter who they are.
Amen.
No matter who they are. Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria. And he goes down there and he has something, and he gets joy out of this. The Lord gets joy. And the Bible says, his disciples went away to buy meat. Then saith the woman, and so on. She said, you have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knew the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She says to him, the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus saith unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what? If you're saved, sitting in here, you got a well inside you. And the Lord wants you to go out and give people a drink. The well, the word of God. And the Bible says, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll tell you what, when I was 18 years old, when I asked Jesus Christ to save me, I took a drink. And I'm going to tell you something, that satisfied. It satisfied me because I knew I got the real deal. I knew it was the best thing ever happened to me. And boy, I just wanted that thing to get springing up in me. And I remember being at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and Dr. Seidler was sitting over there, and there was a guy named B.R. Lincoln. He was an old circuit riding preacher. And I mean, this guy rode horses preaching revivals. And B.R. Lincoln's son was killed, and like he was 30-some years old, and he died. Samson was just a little baby sitting on the front row with Linda. Linda was pregnant with Ruth, and she was sitting on the front row. And B.R. Lincoln got talking about heaven, about seeing his son. And B.R. Lincoln got crying. And the church was packed, 1,500 people in there. And B.R. Lincoln got preaching and talking about it. Then he leaned over the pulpit and cried. Said, one day I'm going to see my son again. And Samson was just about 2 years old. And I wasn't there. I was away. I was away in Washington doing something. And Linda was sitting on the front row with Samson, and that's where we sat, right here on the front row. And every time I got happy, I'd pick Samson up and shout and run around the building. So I wasn't there, and when B.R. Lincoln did that, Samson jumped up out of that pew. Linda's pregnant now. She's 6 months pregnant, so. And he jumps up out of that pew and runs down. I mean, the church is wide. He runs down in front of the Lord's Supper table, looks up at the pulpit, and goes, well, glory! As a two-year-old child, and takes off running. And B.R. Lincoln started crying. The choir, people started coming out of the choir, running the aisle. Samson's running the aisle. Linda's chasing him. She's pregnant. She's trying to catch him. And B.R. Lincoln said, and then Dr. Seidler jumped up on his seat, and he started yelling this, spring up, oh well. He started yelling, spring up, oh well. And I know what he was talking about. Man, when you get excited about the Lord, and you know, that's what praise is. That's springing up inside you. It just comes out. Worship just comes out of you. And then all of a sudden, the well starts running. Starts running out. Look at here. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go or call thy husband. This is where I was trying to get to. Come hither. Jesus tells her, go call your husband. Tell him to come out here. Jesus already knew. He already knew. He knew this woman didn't have a husband. Look what he says to her. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She said, so I'll never have to come back here again. If you'll give me this water, I'll never have to come back here again. See, Jesus was talking about spiritual water. She thought he was talking about physical. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. What was that? What was that movie star that she had how many husbands? 7, 8 husbands, something like that. Elizabeth Taylor, yeah, she had about 8. Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom look what he says, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. So this woman just came from the house, and there's somebody else's husband there, and she's getting water, and he said you've had 5 husbands, and the guy there at the house ain't your husband. And look what she says. The woman said unto her, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. How'd you know? How'd you know that? You've had 5 husbands, and the guy you're with right now ain't your husband. And look what the Bible says. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And she said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. But the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's looking this morning.
Yep.
He's looking for somebody to worship.
Man.
God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, and why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pots. This woman forgot about what she was doing, left her water pots, and goes to the city, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come and see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Look what Jesus said. And he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Jesus was getting so excited, knowing that the whole Samaritan group was coming out to see him. They were people that were unworthy in the Jewish eyes to worship. We're talking about marriage, though. Let's go back to Romans chapter 7. You say, is there grounds for divorce in the Bible? Yes, there is. Can a man commit adultery? Can a woman commit adultery? Yes, they can. You know what? You can be sitting in church this morning, sitting here, you saying, I come to worship Jesus Christ, and you can commit adultery in your heart.
That's right.
And you girls, you got to be careful about what you wear, because you say, if I'm the one that caused him to commit adultery, then I'm guilty as he is.
Amen.
You know what we say to a guy that's staring? You know what girls usually say to a guy would sit there and stare. We had a guy used to come to church here, and his name was Ronnie. I miss Ronnie. And Ronnie wasn't all there. And matter of fact, a lot of us, all of us ain't there. And Ronnie would come to church, and Ronnie would wait for everybody to get into church. He'd wait for everybody to sit down. And the girls usually sat on the second row. And Ronnie would sit right here. And Ronnie would come in. And everybody knows what I'm talking about, Ronnie. He'd come in, and here's how he walked down the aisle. He wanted everybody to see him. And Ronnie would go like this. He'd walk down the aisle and make his entrance. And when he walked in, I knew what he was doing. I started laughing. Stuff like that makes me laugh. And he came in, and he did this little. And then he sat down. But when he sat down, all the girls sat on this row. And he would take his arm and he'd go and look at their legs. He was checking out the legs. So the girls came to my wife and said, that creep keeps looking at our legs. We know he's staring at us. My wife said, well, get a blanket and just put a blanket over your legs. So that's what the girls did. All the girls on the front row there. And Ronnie came in, did his little deal, and they had the blanket on the floor. And he looked, and then he sat down, put his arm back like this, and he went like this. And he looked at their legs. But when he was doing a little deal, they pulled the blanket up. And when he looked and he saw that they had a blanket, he went, oh, man. Oh, man. And you get people come to church and they're checking out the women and all that stuff. And you know what the girls will say? Nah, he's a creep. That's a creep. Yeah. He's a creep. And so, but if a woman calls a man to lust after, that's why. What do you think the prostitutes wear their clothes down on the street? They wear that stuff so a man go, woo, look at that fine baby, woo. Yeah. I was on the roof with a bunch of guys. I worked with roofers, and you know, roofers say all kinds of stuff. And I was on the roof with these guys, and they would tell me about their wife, and they were married and all that stuff. And I'd be on the roof, and these girls would walk by. They were girl prostitutes and stuff like that, walk down the street, and the guys would stand up on the roof and go, hey, girl, what's happening, baby? Well, I love you. And I said, hey, man, aren't you married? And they go, well, yeah, man, nothing wrong with messing around a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, I think you're probably, maybe if you got home today and found out your wife's doing the same thing, what would you do? He goes, I'd kill her. I said, how you know she ain't? He said, she better not be. And I said, well, you keep doing it. Maybe God will make sure that she does the same thing.
That's right.
I was operating a crane down in Pensacola. I had this dude. I had him up 10 stories in the crane. And this guy was scared to death of heights. And he was a black guy. And I had him up there, and he said, preacher, I'm scared. I said, don't worry. I'll take it easy. You just be up there. He was working on the ledge of one of the buildings, old buildings, putting the facial and all that stuff up. And he was up there working. I had the crane. I put him up there. And every time he was up there like this, he'd be in the bucket like this. And then he'd go working a little bit. As soon as he'd see a girl walk by, he'd go, hey, girl, what's happening? And every time he did, I took the crane, went poom, and just jerked it. And he went, ah! He'd yell out, preacher, stop it! Look at verse 2. A woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, don't y'all get no ideas. You heard about that woman. They called her, man. She was giving her husband, putting antifreeze in his vitamins. Here he is thinking he's getting healthier. She had a life insurance policy, about $1 million on her. She can't spend it. She's in jail. Yeah. You better watch it when your wife is real eager about giving you vitamins. You better watch out. Lord have mercy. Get hot in here. My wife makes me a drink every morning. I've been losing weight ever since. No. First. Oh, man. Maybe the buses ought to break down more often. Verse 3. Now, I told you there is grounds for divorce. And there's three grounds for divorce. You won't hear that most of the time in churches. You won't hear it. There is three grounds. One of them is death, which we just read. If your husband be dead, you're loose from the law. The other one is found in Matthew 19. Look at Matthew 19. So men or women, if you run around your husband or your wife, I've had to deal with this many, many times where one was running around the other. I've had to deal with it. But I always tell them this. There is grounds for divorce here. But you don't have to do it. It's better if you can forgive and he'll get right or she'll get right and you just go on in life and just be faithful to each other. There is grounds, but it's better to forgive unless he's a player or he's just out, you know. A woman has, see, the Lord knew that. People say, well, God's against divorce. He is. The Lord is against divorce. But he divorced Israel, but he took her back. Hosea chapter 2, he divorced Israel. And he let them to go into captivity and all that stuff. And Hosea is a type of, he tells Hosea, you know, about marrying a prostitute. Look here. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 3. The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Every cause. Say you got married and you have your honeymoon and you don't like her. And the Pharisees saying, can we divorce him? I mean, can I give her a right in divorcement and say, that's it, I don't want her? And then that woman would live in shame for the rest of her life. And she would be mocked. She'd be ridiculed. She'd be all that. She'd be rest of her life. And so the Lord knew man being as vile and man being as wicked as he is, man likes to have more than what he, you know, and never satisfied. Women, the same, I mean, same thing. But a woman is more faithful. You find overall a woman will be more faithful because the children, until a man abuse her until she can't take it no more. And then she'll just say, that's it. And when a woman finally makes up her mind and says, that's it. Usually that's the way it goes. But a man, you know, he's saying, is it right to put away your wife for every cause? And look what Jesus said. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? He didn't make Adam and Steve.
That's right.
Made Adam and Eve. So right now the world's pushing on you, Adam and Steve. Adam and Steve, it's all right. They're pushing that on you.
That's right.
You know why? Because it's against God.
That's right.
Anything that's against God, the world pushes it.
Right.
So I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. He runs the things. So right before, just think about this. Right before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a plea going on. And he said, can you find 10 righteous people? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because, he said, the wickedness, it was called their wickedness, but the homosexuality was going rampant in there. And God destroyed it because it made him sick. See, when God made man, he made man from a woman came from the man, and God made them one. And what the devil says, oh, come on. You know, you ever notice that lesbians and homosexuals, they always want to adopt children, but they can't have them themselves. They can't reproduce. So what they want to do is recruit your children. So they get into school, start teaching an alternative lifestyle. And they say, if you have homosexual thoughts then, or lesbian thoughts, then you probably are a lesbian, or you're probably a homosexual. And they teach that stuff, and the kids are getting confused. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than offend one of these little ones. And they're offending little children, confusing little children, messing them up. And then little children are being molested and all that. The Lord said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and be cast into the sea. And that's what the world's doing right now. You know, I'm glad Trump got in and said, hey, change that law about, you know, if you feel like you're a woman today or you feel like you're a man, you can go into whatever bathroom. Why? Why do they do that? What? Nobody with common sense would do something like that.
Right.
Nobody with common sense. You know what it shows? There's somebody's got an agenda. They've got an agenda to mess up the minds of children. You know what they said? What we need to do is get rid of the baby boomers. Once they die off, we can control the other ones. The millennials, God have mercy.
Amen.
The millennials, they take it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I looked at Bernie Sanders when he was running. I said, how in the world could anybody run for a communist or vote for a communist? You know what that shows you? That shows you people they don't know history. They're not teaching history in school. And what men learn from history is they never learn from history. They're not teaching history and teaching the kids what happened with socialism, what happened with communism, what happened with, you know, Nazism. They don't teach that. They don't teach about where our founding fathers, what they believed and stood upon. They don't teach that no more. Now, that's why we've got kids going homeschool, teach that in homeschool.
Amen.
So you got all this stuff going on, man, and the world's is pushing down your throat every day, just pushing. And saying it's all right. Now you say, are you hateful towards people like that? No. You know what I do? I see a couple, I go up and say, hey, let me give you something to tell you about Jesus Christ. He died for you, paid your sin. So they need to get saved too.
Amen.
I wouldn't let them teach Sunday school though.
Amen.
I wouldn't let them teach in school. And that's being pushed day in and day out. Now, we're talking about marriage. And the world's trying to push. Isn't it crazy? The world tells you if you're a man and a woman, just live together. Don't worry about a license. Don't worry about it. Just live together. It's all right. Have children. Just live together. And then all of a sudden, you got homosexuals saying, we want a license.
That's right.
And lesbian, we want a license. Yep. Why? You just said live together for the man. Yeah, but that was for them.
Right.
But they're trying to show legitimacy and that saying we're real, we're here. And what's sad about it, Christians, we got Christianity. Christians don't do anything, you know, they don't stand for their on their ground. And that's why America's falling away, like, you know. That's why they hate Trump. You wonder why is it that all this stuff going on? Because he's changing the laws back from Obama. They hate his guts. You know, I was showing this, and I'm not 100% Trump either. Don't tell me, you know, I'm not 100%. I'm not on board, you know, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, Trump is like Messiah. No, he's not. He's a man just like anybody else. But he got a little more common sense than Obama. But what was I saying? Marriage, what they do is they're pushing that thing day in and day out, trying to get you to, you know, hook up and trying to get kids to believe it's all right. And they've did psychological test on children that's living with same-sex marriages. The kids are so confused, they want to commit suicide. So the devil behind all this stuff is trying to get people's lives, trying to get their kids, trying to mess up their lives and destroy them. And this terror, that's why you look at America, man. Look at how many people in America that are living together, how many people are doing all this stuff, and the kids are out of control, and you go in the inner city, you can't even stay in the inner city in at nighttime without being mugged, robbed, or killed. And you got, man, you think, what is that? That's from parents not training their kids Amen. The fear of God.
Amen.
Now, you might think I'm on this political agenda this morning. I'm not. It's just stuff.
Amen.
I'm not. I'm just telling you this is the way it is.
Amen.
And it's crazy that it's being accepted. And like I said, I looked at Bernie Sanders thinking, how in the world could anybody vote for this guy? You know why? You know why the millennials wanted him? Because he said, I'll give you free this, free, 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 and everything free. I'll give it all to you free. And millennials say, yeah, we deserve it. I want it. The baby boomers worked for it. They worked. I like to think I'm a baby boomer. I think I am.
You're old, amen.
I'm old. But you believe in working for it. Talk about marriage. Let's go back to marriage. You know, marriage is you got to work at it. You got to work at loving each other sometimes.
Amen.
You'll say stuff to each other. You know what it is, man? Man, you got to learn to say I'm sorry.
Amen.
Ladies, you got to learn to say I'm sorry. And that's the way marriage works out. You got, you know, why? You're fallible. You're gonna say something. You're going to do something. Yesterday, I came in, my wife's vacuuming, and I snuck up behind her, and I went, and I grabbed her. And she, you should have saw her do this dance. It was funny. She fell over something and fell down, and she said, you idiot! She threw her back out and everything else. So if you see her hopping around here today, she said, you idiot! Yeah, that's not grounds. I thought it was funny. She didn't. Yes. I apologize. I said I was sorry. I even rubbed her back. Hot ice. No, it was the other stuff. Cream, some cream. Anyway, she laughed the whole time I did it. What time is it? Josh is pointing to us. Well, all right, I haven't even got to where I wanted to get. All right. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? You need to underline that in your Bible. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, Josh. No, he's not married yet. He's not married yet. And shall cleave unto his wife. I've been pushing that boy to get married. I told him, I said, man, you need to get married. God have mercy. Find the right woman and get married. Amen. The right woman. Yeah. And shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be what? Look at here. Look on down. We'll get to the meat of it. He says, wherefore they that are no more twain but one flesh Where what therefore God have put together, joined together, let not man put asunder. And they said unto him, why did Moses then commanded to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of what? He said, because y'all, the hardness of your hearts. I want to tell you something. If your heart gets hard in your marriage, there is no happy days are not here again, that's for sure. They're gone. You can't get hard in your marriage. Even though you know, I know what my wife's going to say before she even says it sometimes, and she knows me. But you got to keep joy. You got to keep the love there. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. He said, God never intended that. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for what?
Fornication.
For what?
Fornication.
You know what fornication is? Fornication is flesh joining flesh when they step away. And what that adultery is when they break the marriage vow. When you stand before God, when I marry people, we have three people involved, the husband, the wife, and God.
Amen.
And when you say, I'm going to honor her, I'm going to cherish her, until death do us part, you're saying it to God.
Amen.
And when you break that marriage vow, that's adultery. You step away from her and fornicate, you commit adultery.
Amen.
That's breaking the marriage vow. Fornication is when flesh joins flesh. Say, can a person, before they're married, commit fornication? Yes, they can. They flesh join flesh. There's no marriage. There's no commitment. That's why I'm against the people not getting married without a license on theirs. Because of today's time, people don't want no commitment.
Right.
I know the law doesn't marry people. The law doesn't make you stay together. But I tell them just because obey the laws of land, Romans 13, you obey the laws of land, have a marriage license, make it harder for him to leave. Make it harder for her and put it on record that they are husband and wife. So look on down to verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God have put together, joined together, I see, keep saying put together. Let not man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses, and so on. And verse 8, and he said, because of the hardness of your hearts. Verse 9, he said, whosoever shall put away his wife except to be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery. But whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doeth commit adultery. So the grounds for divorce is death, fornication, and the last one is desertion. 1 Corinthians 7. If a person leaves, say the guy, I know a guy that left his wife, and he said, honey, I'm going to get milk and bread, and he left. He didn't show back up for 5 years. No lie. There's no, a guy came to church here at one time. He walked back into the house 5 years later, had milk and bread. So what did she do? She took him back. She needed that bread and milk. Isn't that crazy? You say, well, preacher, I've stepped out. I've done this. I've done everything. I broke every law. I broke every commandment. If you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
God forgives the past. God forgives all that.
Amen.
When he told that Samaritan woman, that's why I read that. He told that Samaritan woman, he said, you've had five husbands. So don't think that you're trash. Don't think that because you've been divorced that you are no good. That's God uses people.
Amen.
From all walks of life. God will use you, and well, you can be his child.
Amen.
First class. Not second class or third class.
Amen.
You can be first class. But from here on out, Jesus said, go sin no more, lest something worse happen to you.
That's right. Amen.
From here on out, serve him.
Amen.
Don't think you're second class because you went through that. Ask God to forgive you. Move on. Amen. Lord, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for you, this Resurrection Sunday. I pray you save that soul. In Jesus' name, bless the Sunday service coming up. In Jesus' name, amen.